కృష్ణ వృందికి, నామాచార్య హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమ సఖహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసతి గౌర్ భక్తి వృందికి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప్ గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి, వృందావన్ మథురాధామ్ కి, నవదీప్ మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి, జగన్నాథ్ పురి ధామ్ కి, గంగమ్మ యమునమ్మకి, భక్తిదేవి తులసి మహారాణికి, సమవేత భక్తి వృందికి గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే. All Guru Shri Assembled Devotees, All Guru Shri Assembled Devotees, All Guru Shri Assembled Devotees, All Guru Shri Shri Guru Vangavaranga, All Guru Shri Shri Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada Ki. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం, దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం, తతో జయముదీరయే. బిఫోర్ రిసైటింగ్ ది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం, విచ్ ఈస్ అ వెరీ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ కాంక్వెస్ట్, వన్ షుడ్ ఆఫర్ రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ ఆన్ టు ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ నారాయణ, ఆన్ టు నరనారాయణ ఋషి ది సూపర్ మోస్ట్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్, ఆన్ టు మదర్ సరస్వతి ద గాడెస్ ఆఫ్ లెర్నింగ్, అండ్ ఆన్ టు శ్రీల వ్యాసదేవ ది ఆథర్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా, భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. బై రెగ్యులర్ అటెండెన్స్ ఇన్ ద ఇన్ క్లాసెస్ ఆఫ్ ఆన్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం అండ్ బై రెండరింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద సర్వీస్ టు ద ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ ట్రబుల్సమ్ టు ద హార్ట్ ఈస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ కంప్లీట్లీ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్, అండ్ లవింగ్ సర్వీస్ ఆన్ టు the personality of Godhead, who is praised with the transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So today we will be studying from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter number 17. We will be doing two verses, verse number 21 and 22 together. 21, yeah, you want to just... Yeah, so today we'll be reading both the verses, number 21 and 22. 21 does not have a purport, and I'll just read it myself. And 22 has a purport, we will read that verse together. So 21, I'll just read it myself. Yeah. Tam vikshaya dussahajavam ranat kanchana nupuram vaijayantya srujajishtam amsanasyat mahagadam. Hiranyaksha's temper was difficult to control. He had anklets of gold tinkling about his feet. He was adored with a gigantic garland, and he rested his huge mace on one of his shoulders. Verse number 22. I'll just first read the word to word. Please repeat along with me. Mano Virya. Okay, this word is like a combination of two words. It is Vara and Utsiktam. Vara, so combination is Varotsiktam. Varotsiktam. Arshanyam. Akuto. Bayam. Bita. Ninil. Nilire. Devas. Tarkasya. Takshya. Trashta. Ivahayaha. Manovirya varotsiktam. Arsanyam akuto bayam. பீதனினில் தேவாஸ் திராட்சாத்ராஸ்த இவாஹயஹ மனோவீர்யா வரோட்சிஷ்டம் அர்ஷன்யம் அகுதோபயம் பீதனினில் இரே தேவாஸ் த்ரக்ஷத்ரஸ்தா இவாஹயஹ மனோவீர்யா வரோசிக்டம் ஆர்ஷன்யம் அகுதோபயம் பீதனினில் இரே தேவாஸ் த்ராக்ஷத்ரஸ்தா இவாஹயஹ மனோவீர்யாவரோசிஷ்டம் ஆர்ஷன்யாம் அகுதோபயம் பீதநீரில் இரே தேவாஸ் தார்ஷத்ரஷ்டா இவாஹயஹ மனோவீர்யாவரோசிஷ்டம் ஆஷன்யம் அகுதோபயம் பீதனினில் இரே தேவா தாஷதஸ்தா இவாஹயஹ மதஜி மனோவீர்யா வரோஷ்டிஸ்தம் ஆஷன்யம் அகுதோபயம் பீதனினில் இரே தேவா தாக்ஷதஸ்தா இவாஹயஹ மனோவீர்யாவரோஷ்டிக்தம் ஆர்ஷன்யம் அகுதோபயம் பீதனினில் இரே தேவா தாக்ஷதஸ்தா இவாஹயஹ Manaha Virya, by mental and bodily strength. Vara, by the boon. Utsiktam, proud. Arshanyam, not able to be checked. Akutabayam, fearing no one. Bitaha, frightened. Ninil yire, hid themselves. Devaha, the demigods. Taksha, Garuda. Trashtaha, frightened of. Iva, like. Ahayaha, snakes. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jai. By mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred onto him, he made his, upon him made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves even as the snakes hide themselves for fear of Garuda. Let's repeat the translation together. His mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred onto him, made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves for fear of Garuda. The asuras are generally strong built, as described here. Therefore, their mental condition is very sound, and their prowess is also extraordinary. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, having received the boon that they would not be killed by any other living entity within this universe, were almost immortal, and thus they were completely fearless. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕೆಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ ಉನ್ಮೀತಂ ಏನಾ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಾ ಕದಾ ಮಯ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗನ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವನನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾತಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ Thank you everyone for coming for this class, and thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here. So in the previous verse also, we have seen in the verse number 15, there also the Kumaras were mentioned as fearless. Of course, the Kumaras were fearless because they were aware of the fact of what's happening around them, you know, despite of all the calamities in the nature happening around them. Everybody was fearful, but except the Kumaras. And in this verse, in the current verse, number 22, also it is described that these demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, are also fearless. Like, both the Kumaras are fearless and the demons are also fearless. So what is the difference? What's the difference between the fearlessness of the Kumaras versus the fearlessness of these two demons? You know, just like in a classroom, sometimes we see that those students who are like well prepared for the exam, they are also fearless. And at the same time, those who are not prepared, or they're going to know that they're going to fail anyway, or they have some other arrangements where they don't have to give the exam, they're also fearless, right? So this is like an analogy, because this fearlessness is either based on the knowledge, or that fearlessness can be also based upon the ignorance. And the fearlessness of the Kumaras is actually based on the knowledge. So they are aware of what's happening around them. So they were fearless. On the other side, the fearlessness of these two demons is actually in ignorance. Because they are confident. Why they are confident? They are confident that they are not going to die. because they have a boon. They have a boon from Lord Brahma that they're not going to die and they're going to be immortal. So because death is also like an exam, correct? Because if you know that you're not going to give an exam, then you're not fearless as well. So in this way, these two demons are fearless, not in the mode of, in the knowledge, but they are in ignorance. Because, people are fearful of many things, but out of all the things which they fear, the biggest fear is actually the death. Because, no matter how strong and how fearless and how arrogant a person may be throughout his life, but in his old age, usually people kind of soften up, They become more humble and they become more fearful, because they are fear of death. Because they are fear that they may lose everything. Because you can see the human mind can either can take good or bad. It can be prepared. But what the human mind cannot take is the uncertainty. And the biggest uncertainty is the death. Because the death, you don't know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and what will happen after the death, and what is going to happen, to his family, friends, and wealth. It's an uncertainty. So the death is the biggest uncertainty. It's uncertainty, and that is actually a cause for the deepest and the biggest fear anyone can ever have. Because sometimes we see that materially, when they're young, they may be expert in many things, They may be strong, they may be, fearless, they may be very expert in getting the things what they want to get done, And that's actually an attractive quality, being a fearless, is actually an attractive quality. Even that is one of the qualities of Krishna also, that, he is Abhayadata, means he offers fearlessness to those souls who are surrendered unto him. And such a person who is having this fearlessness is actually an attractive person. And a woman who is having such a husband who is fearless, and a child who is having such a father who is fearless, is actually like a role model, They look upon such a person, and it is an attractive feature. But however, at the time of death, we can see that the same person, no matter how fearless he was through his entire life, but at the time of death, he will be fearful, because he is fearful, because that is the nature of soul. The nature of soul is Sachit Ananda. To live eternally is a quality of the soul. But however, when a person dies, that is not an intrinsic quality of the soul which brings upon the fear. I can think of an example, in my own case, my grandfather, he was like a fearless person, everyone used to, consider him like a hero. But he passed away 3 years ago, and we were kind of witnessing him, what he was going through. And it was completely opposite, the person who was like fearless throughout his life, but at the end of his life, he was a completely different person. So we can see how death, no matter how fearless you are at the end of life, it makes you fearful. And in the same way, we can see these two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, because of the boon they got of immortality, that they are fearless. But little do they know that the Lord is going to, trick them somehow, and then, they're going to get killed eventually. And the same thing is true with the Ravana also, Even though he got many benedictions, that he is going to be immortal, and then he led a life of, as if he's never going to die. But ultimately, he was also killed by Lord Rama. But of course, in the case of Ravana, it is little different, because usually the demons are considered like some uneducated or like, foolish. But Ravana was not like that actually. No, Ravana was actually a very knowledgeable person, It is said that he studied all the four Vedas, he knows all the Shastras, and also is actually a good administrator, In the Lanka, it was said that Lanka was actually a prosperous kingdom, Ravana was a very good administrator. And he's also a very knowledgeable person, He has studied all the Vedas and the Shastras. But still, he is considered as a demon. Why is it so? A person who is a good administrator and who is very knowledgeable, who has studied all the Vedas, and he's still considered as a demon. And, Ravana actually, and all these demons, we can see that they have undergone a lot of austerities, sacrifices, and study all the Vedas, and still considered demon. The reason is because ultimately they want to satisfy themselves. It's not that they want to satisfy Krishna or Lord Vishnu, but ultimately they want to satisfy themselves. So that is the biggest difference. Even though they have the Vedic knowledge, but still it was not very much helpful. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, he says that according to the three modes of nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. And he says, Krishna says, then that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without the knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. But that action which is performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of falsehood is called the action in mode of passion. And that action performed in illusion, disregard of the spiritual injunctions and without the concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others is said to be in the mode of ignorance. And the worker who is attached to the work and the fruits of the work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. So in this way, we can see that these demons, you know, even though they are knowledgeable, they perform a lot of austerities, you know, but because they are trying to satisfy their own senses, you know, that, you know, ultimately they have to meet their death. And even though they are having this knowledge of the Vedas, but that knowledge is actually in the mode of ignorance. And as a result, whatever the actions they have performed, either it's in the mode of, you know, ignorance or in the mode of passion. So here, you know, in the previous verse, we have seen how Hiranyaksha, the brother, he's, you know, like an ideal brother, you know, trying to follow the, you know, the instruction of his elder brother, you know, trying to, you know, protect him at all times. And we have also seen the example of Ravana, that how he's like an ideal administrator. So for someone, you know, apparently it may look like these are some sort of like an ideal appreciable qualities, right? And, you know, and even today, you know, there are some people, you know, in Lanka, they still worship Ravana, you know. There are people who still worship these demons because they considered him as an ideal person, you know, who has some ideal qualities, that he was a good administrator, he was an ideal brother, he was an ideal husband. So many ideal things, but the Shastras just described them to be a demons. You know, when I first heard this, that, you know, some people actually worship Ravana and then, you know, they don't respect Rama, then I was kind of surprised that, you know, what kind of a person would admire Ravana? And then I was trying to hear some of their arguments. You know, one of their arguments they say is that, some of the reasons they say is that, you know, Ravana, actually these demons, they are a self-made people, you know. They struggle in their life and, you know, they earned what they, you know, all their, you know, prosperities. And now they're enjoying the fruits of their actions. So what's wrong with that? There is nothing wrong with that. You know, but the problem with such an understanding is that, you know, as Archita Prabhu mentioned in the previous class, you know, these people, they may be robbing, you know, they may be stealing other persons, you know, for whatever reasons they may consider. But when you rob from those people, they're going to kill you, right? They're going to kill you. So that is the thing, you know. That is all relative. It's like a double standard, you know. And in the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter and 26th verse, it says, Atmanamsha paranyashyati yaha karoti antarodaram tasya binna drishyo mrityur vidade bhayam ulbanam. By the blazing fire of death, I cause the fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of differential outlook. It's called as binnadrishya. Binnadrishya means having a differential outlook, means having like a double standard. Like you have one thing for yourself, but you have a different thing for the others, right? For my family and my friends, you know, I give all protection, but for the others, I don't care. For myself, I just, you know, do the best things. But, you know, when I'm giving a charity to others, I just use which is of the, you know, the lowest quality, you know. For my house, you know, I spend like thousands of dollars. But for others, when I have to donate, I just like donate like $10, right? So that is called as binnadrishya, means having a differential outlook, having a double standard. So that is actually a demonic quality, you know, that basically shows a lack of compassion. Correct? Even though you have a compassion, but your compassion is subjective. You have only compassion for, you know, for those people who, you know, whom you think yourself, but those people whom you do not identify with yourself, you know, then, you know, you exhibit all these demonic qualities. Of course, in these previous yugas, you know, we can see like, you know, ideal demon, like, you know, 100% bad qualities, 0% good qualities, like Hiranyakashipu. And we also see like a pure devotees, like 100% good qualities, like, you know, Prahlad. But of course, in the Kali Yuga, it's all kind of mixed up. You know, in the same person, you will see that some percentage, divine qualities, and some percentage a demonic qualities. It's like having a good dog and a bad dog. And now it's up to us whether you want to feed this good dog or a bad dog. Right? So, as I mentioned previously, this fear is basically, in my previous class I mentioned that this fear is basically a product of ignorance, avidya. In the 10th, in the 3rd canto, 20th chapter, verse number 18, you know, it talks about the pancha kleshas, you know, the 5 kleshas. It begins from ignorance, right? And, you know, there's like different manifestations, and the last and the final manifestation is actually fear. And this panchakleshas is actually something which you can even find in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutras also. Like, you know, as you all know that, you know, there are Shad Darshanas, the 6 core philosophies, which is Purva Mimamsa, or Uttara Mimamsa or Vedanta, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya and Yoga of Patanjali. You know, sometimes we see some similarities in these different philosophies also. And this is one such example, these panchakleshas. Of course, in the Bhagavatam, it uses a different terms, and in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, it means the same thing, but they just use a different words. In the Bhagavatam, it says, tamas, from tamas comes moha, from moha comes mahamoha, and from mahamoha comes tamisra, and from tamisra comes andatamisra. So these are the 5 panchakleshas. And of course, something which is similar in the Yoga Sutras, over there it describes as avidya, ashmita, raga, dvesha and abhinivesha. So it all starts from the ignorance, which is called as avidya. You know, avidya is basically, it is described as anadi avidya, means beginningless ignorance. Anadi avidya yuktasya purushasyatma vedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 22nd chapter, verse number 10. It says, because a person who has been covered by ignorance since time immemorial is not capable of effecting his own self-realization. There must be some other personality who is in factual knowledge of the absolute truth and can impart this knowledge onto him. So that is where it starts from the anadi avidya. It's because of its ignorance, one basically misidentifies with his body. And he misidentifies his body as oneself. And when a person believes that one is this body but not the spirit soul, that is called as moha or illusion. And from this illusion comes the attachment, you know. There are some things which he likes and he's attached towards that. And there are some things which he does not like and he develops an aversion towards it. So, From the moha comes raga and dvesha. Raga means desire and dvesha means anger or hatred. And when a person loses an object which is very dear to him, then that is a cause for the fear, which is abhinivesha or andatamisra. So in this way we can see how the fear arises all the way from the ignorance. And what is the solution? The solution is also given in the Bhagavatam itself, in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 37, it says, bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshashta syat. Bhayam means fear. Dvitiya means identifying in something or meditating on something which is other than the Lord. And abhiniveshata means because of absorption. Syat means will arise. So that is the root cause of the fear. And what is the solution? When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord and he forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord, this is bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called as Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. So this is a solution. What is the solution? The solution is basically to take the shelter of a guru and serve him. And also, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita also, that tadvidhi paranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, means try to learn, acquire this knowledge by approaching a guru and by submissively hearing from him and by rendering service unto him. Of course, one may be wondering, why is Krishna emphasizing on these 2 things, like submissiveness and performing, you know, and rendering service unto him? Because from our common experience, we have seen that, you know, like for a student, Like, you know, when a student goes to a school, you know, for him to acquire the knowledge, he doesn't really do all these things, right? I mean, he doesn't, like, you know, service, you know, perform, sir, you know, submiss you, you know, or, you know, perform some service to a teacher. But still, he's able to acquire the knowledge, right? So why is it that Krishna emphasizing on the submissiveness and the service aspect? Does it mean that without submissiveness and service, one cannot acquire knowledge? Because we must understand that there's a difference between the material knowledge and the spiritual knowledge. The material knowledge is something which you just understand or acquire by your just your intellectual, you know, prowess. But a spiritual knowledge is not like that. You know, that is why even Ravana, even though he's a very knowledgeable person, he was still a demon. So it's just a knowledge, because the divine knowledge is not something which you acquire. The divine knowledge is something which is revealed within the heart. That is why even in the Guru Puja we sing, Divya Jnana Hriday Prakashito, which means by the mercy of the Guru, this divine knowledge is revealed within the heart. And that is how the spiritual, you know, the dynamics, the spiritual knowledge works. It is not something which is acquired, but it is something which is revealed within the heart of the disciples. And as a result of this knowledge, this fear is something which is destroyed in the heart. Of course, the other advantage or the other thing when one takes the shelter of a guru is that by taking the shelter of a guru and, you know, accepting, you know, the initiation process, all his previous karmas are actually destroyed. And by destruction of these previous karmas, you know, that is why, you know, sometimes people get bad dreams, right? You know, this bad dreams is basically nothing but, you know, it's due to the prarabdha karma, that some sinful activities which is performed in his previous life. That is why, you know, people get some bad dreams. But however, a disciple, you know, a person, when he takes the, you know, shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and takes an initiation, you know, I can tell you from a practical experience that there won't be any more bad dreams. You know, that is actually a, you know, a proof that, you know, all these previous, you know, sinful activities, sinful, you know, sins are actually destroyed. But of course, if a disciple continues, you know, with his, you know, performs to continue a sinful activity and creates a new karma, which is like, you know, kriyamana karma, then of course that will add to his karma, and then, you know, he may not get the full benefit out of it. And in the Bhagavatam also it is said that the evil spirits wander only where people do not engage and in hearing and chanting the names of Bhagavan Krishna. Such hearing subdues the influence of ghostly beings. And even in the Brihan Naradiya Purana also it is stated, when people are devoted to the worship of Vishnu, there are no obstacles. There are no disturbances from the king, thieves and sickness, ghosts, hobgoblins and various classes of demons known as Kushmandas, Grahas, Balagrahas, Dakinis, and even the Rakshasas do not trouble the worshippers of the Lord Achyuta. And we can see, you know, practical examples, like, you know, even the life of Prahlad, you know, even though Hiranyak, you know, his father tried to, you know, kill him in different ways, but, you know, he was not to be killed. And in the Vishnu Purana, it explains why Prahlad was actually, why this elephant, you know, whom his which was sent by his father, was not able to kill Prahlad. And Prahlad says that it is not by my own power that the tusks of these elephants, which are as hard as thunderbolts, got smashed. It is only by the mercy of the Lord Janardana that all these great calamities are destroyed. But of course, you know, sometimes, you know, by reading all these statements, sometimes we may see that, you know, even though devotees also undergo sufferings, and a question may be raised that are these just, you know, some exaggerations or like some arthavada? Actually, this is not arthavada, and for the reason, I mean, our acharyas have given like different reasons for these things, and there are like five reasons why these statements in the scriptures are actually not arthavadas. There are five reasons which I can just briefly describe. Is that why, you know, the devotee sometimes has to undergo some sufferings. The first reason is that even though the Bhakti Devi is potent and the Bhakti Devi is capable of removing all these obstacles, but usually she does not manifest these things generally. Only very rarely such Bhakti Devi, you know, exhibits these exceptional, things. That is because you must understand that because the bhakti is something which is confidential. Even the great devotees, Mahajanas, they don't like easily display, you know, their bhakti. Because otherwise, you know, even the ordinary people would be, you know, attracted to this bhakti, and this integrity of the path would be, you know, compromised. Let's say, for example, that, you know, that everyone who steps into this temple becomes free from all the diseases. Let's say if it happens, like, then what's going to happen? Like, you'll see like a long line tomorrow. All the people standing in front of the temple, because they know that once they step into the temple, they're going to be free from all the diseases, right? So they're not coming here to, you know, perform, you know, do bhakti. They're just coming for some, you know, material gains, like, you know, it's like some demigod worship. But that is not the aim of bhakti. The aim of bhakti is not to, you know, remove these diseases or, you know, some help you in your economical development. And also the devotees are actually humble. You know, it's not that, you know, they want to display all these qualities. Just like, you know, when a rich person has like a diamond, like a precious diamond, he's not going to display it to everybody, right? I mean, it's something which is confidential. He's just going to keep it secret. And on the other hand, we see that actually devotees pray for more difficulties. You know, it's not that they're trying to get rid of the difficulties. That, like, you know, we see the prayers of Queen Kunti, how she's praying for more difficulties so that, you know, she can get the mercy of the Lord even more. So in this way, we can see that how devotees, you know, by protected by the Lord, becomes fearless. And even Maharaj Parikshit, you know, who was about to die in the 7 days, that he's not afraid of death anymore. And he says that, "O Brahmanas, just accept me as completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, who also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you will continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. I fear neither Takshaka nor any form of death, since I have become established in the fearless, liberated state of immediate Brahman realization revealed by you. Grant me your blessings, O sage, that while restraining my speech and fixed my mind free from all predispositions towards the desire, O Adokshada, I may give up my vital life force." So in this way, we can see how these devotees of the Lord become fearless. And sometimes we also see these demons, sometimes they speak philosophy. But, you know, even though they speak philosophy, you'll never see a demon being fearless of the death. You know, how much ever the demons may speak, but when it comes to the death, you know, it's only the devotees can be fearless, not the demons. So this is a difference between the fearlessness of a devotee versus the fearlessness of a demon. Thus, I like to conclude my class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any comments or questions? Okay. So. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Very nice class. My question is, if we don't come to the stage of completely pure devotional service to get Krishna Prem, topmost pure devotee, until that we are still experience this question, different level of fear, even if you're in a stage of, you know, Ashakti or Ruchi, you still feel fear. Because you don't have enough, you know, if you're completely pure devotee, you know everything about Krishna. It's no fear anymore because you have full knowledge about Krishna. Until you realize your, you can say, Swarup, you know, Swarup Siddhi, you are always fear. Is it like that? Different level of fear. You always fear. Feel that kind of fear.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what I can say is that, you know, to the degree to which, you know, your avidya is removed, right? To that degree, you become fearless. That's what I can say in short, but maybe some other devotees can add further on to that. So his question was that, I mean, this fearless condition, is it only possible for a pure devotee, like, you know, who is like, you know, fully, you know, surrendered, or is it, what about those devotees who are practitioners? So what about them? Is that correct?
Yeah, this is question. If you're not on the level of to be pure devotee completely, mm-hmm. So even if you're a devotee, you develop different gradation of fear.
Yes.
You have that in heart until
yes.
You get, you know,
yes,
position
so
where
that
a complete
is true.
Pure devotee is not fear anymore.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, like to the degree to which your avidya is removed and to the degree to which, you know, you are surrendered to the Lord, so that to that degree, you know, your fear is removed, correct? So, because fear is, it's based on knowledge, correct? So once you are aware of something, then you are no longer fearful. And of course, there is also a difference between theoretical knowledge and realized knowledge. You may theoretically know something, but to realize it, it's a different thing. Then you become tattvadarshi. Archita Prabhu can add a few more.
The difference is that if you are on the path of devotional service, fear will make you surrender to Krishna more. Chaturvidava janti mam jana sukritina arjana. If you have sukriti, then even if you're not approaching Krishna for the best reason, out of full knowledge, abhidya is all gone, still you have some material attachments. But because you're pious, you take shelter of Krishna.
Yeah.
On the path of devotional service, there are two major tests that will come. One test is when everything is completely okay, you have more money than you can spend in your lifetime, you have good health. Unfortunately, in that situation, many neophyte devotees fall down. The other extreme is when things are going really bad. You're unhealthy, you have no money, things are falling on your head like anything. It's Krishna, Krishna, please help me. So fear in the devotion, in the neophyte stage, is actually not a bad thing, because it makes us take more shelter of Krishna.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, I think you quote that verse about fearlessness. Bayan duitiya binavesa tasya. In that verse, it describes that when one identifies with the body at that moment, you know, and with external energy, fear comes. So there will be no question of ruchi or this and that.
Yeah.
About if you are still identifying with the body, that's the basic. One time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, in Prabhupada memories we heard that, actually Siddhanta Prabhu, he was present when someone said, this person raised his hand, he asked question to Prabhupada, well, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? He says, no fear. Took full protection. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, you know, one who accepts Krishna as the maintainer, as the master, as the provider, as everything. What is the question of fear?
Yes.
Full surrender. Saranagati.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. I just wanted to mention that as long as there is a desire for any kind of material pleasure, there will be fear because those pleasures can be lost.
Yeah.
And as long as one can lose something which gives value and meaning and purpose to his life, there will be fear. But if one has no desire for any sense pleasure, sense gratification, ego gratification, but has only desire to please Krishna, then there would be no fear because he has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And the only thing he has to lose is Krishna, but Krishna is always there.
Yeah.
He's always in the heart.
Yeah.
So one can always take shelter of Krishna in the heart. But as long as one is still attached to material sense pleasure, there will always be fear. So we can get rid of fear if you get rid of sense pleasure. And if we become more focused upon giving pleasure to Krishna, we will lose the fear. And he will take it from us because he gives himself to us in that process.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, take it later. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Nirantara Shamed Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Is that okay? Thank you.